Well, this morning we're going to continue our summer of stories. It's our study of the parables of Jesus. And the title of today's sermon is Refueling with the Oil of Intimacy. Refueling with the Oil of Intimacy. How many of you have been to a wedding? Just about every hand's going up. I love weddings. How many of you think that Jesus loved weddings and loves weddings? He loves weddings. He went to many weddings back in the day. And when Jesus would go to a wedding, it would often look something like this. You see, the Jewish bride who was set apart, we're going to have a little enactment here. I pulled my kids in this morning, kind of last minute, to help us visualize this, okay? So the Jewish bride who was set apart, she's wearing white, isn't that appropriate, would wait for her bridegroom. But she would not know when he was going to arrive. Often she would have to wait for weeks, even months, for her bridegroom, who would then usually come late at night. The bridegroom and his friends, in this case only the bridegroom, in this reenactment here, he would come in a processional to the bride's house. And as soon as the lamps and the torches from the bridegroom's party were seen in the distance, the bride would light her lamp and go running to her bridegroom. Then together, they would enter the house where the marriage ceremony and the marriage feast would take place. After entering the house, the door would be closed. Could somebody get the lights? Hey, kids, good job. Thank you. Thank you. The joys of being a pastor's kid. You never know what you're going to get when you wake up on Sunday morning. Anyway. So Jesus would use this picture of a common wedding ceremony of his day as the backdrop for this parable to send this very important message to the church. I think it's cool how Jesus very often, in fact, almost every single Jewish custom or festival that we read about, that we see that they even practice today, even common things such as weddings and funerals, Jesus would use those, and he created those things to point toward Jesus. To point toward our Lord and Savior, our Redeemer. Our parable this week comes from Matthew 25. So let's dive right into the text. Matthew 25, beginning in verse 1. Matthew 25, verse 1. The words of Jesus. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As soon as the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and they slept. But at midnight, there was a cry. Here is the bridegroom! Come out to meet him! Then all the virgins rose, and they trimmed their lamps. But the foolish virgins said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves. And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. How many of you realize that context is critical? Context, context, context. Context is so important when we study the Word of God. We can get in a lot of trouble if we read God's Word and we take a verse here and take a verse there and we start creating doctrines and theology and beliefs and how we're going to live life just that way. It's a dangerous way to live life, and many people have gotten themselves into a lot of trouble and missed the glory of God and all that He has for us because of taking things out of context. So context is critical. And in this particular parable, it's at the very beginning of chapter 25, which comes right after the end of chapter 24. That is some deep truth right there. But it's very important because it's critical to recognize that this parable that Jesus is telling here is truly part of a discussion that He is having about the end of the age. It's part of a discussion He's having about His return and really about salvation. So that's the context. And specifically, He's even talking about who's going to be ready for His return and who is going to then go with Him and be saved. In fact, Jesus spoke these words just days before His death. With Gethsemane, with Calvary, with the cross, and the grave, all within view. So context is important. And with this context, Jesus tells this parable that we just read. I want to cover 3 points this morning in regards to this important parable. We're going to really tackle 3 different questions. The first one is this: who are these virgins? Who are these virgins? The second question that we're going to tackle is, what is the oil? And the third question is, how can we get this oil and keep it? Our response to this particular parable is going to be greatly influenced and affected by our understanding of who these virgins represent. So question number one, who are these virgins? We talked briefly last week about the bridegroom paradigm in the parable from last week. In fact, we see this bridegroom paradigm throughout God's Word. It's another example this morning where Jesus is referring to Himself as the bridegroom. And He's referring to the church as the bride. The bride or the church is made up of a number of believers, of virgins, as we see in this parable, this picture that Jesus is showing us of what the church looks like. And these believers, the church, they are waiting for His return. And so I just want to take a moment to say this is exciting. In fact, let me just kind of step back and just even as we're diving into this, I'm starting to see everyone brace themselves a little bit for this discussion of, from this particular parable. And I want to get you to kind of take a deep breath right now and to realize that this parable is chock full of exciting news. Don't miss the good news of this parable by allowing the enemy to rob you of that and cause confusion, fear, and doubt, and all this other kind of junk. Don't get caught in the weeds and get pulled away from some of the primary messages of this parable. And that is this, is that the bridegroom is coming back for the bride. He is returning for His bride. That's a promise. That's our hope as believers. And this is a reminder from Jesus that, hey, I'm coming back. I'm coming back for my bride. Let's not miss that. Let's allow that to be the main message, really, that we hear this morning. As believers, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our bridegroom, is coming back for us. And there will be a wedding day, and there will be a wedding feast, and we, His church, His believers, will be there and be part of it. Let's not miss that. Critical to be reminded of that. That's what we're waiting for as lovers of Jesus. And so this parable should cause excitement to break forth in our hearts. Amen? Amen. But Jesus says that some of these virgins, because again, we're going to look at that, who are these virgins? He says that some of these virgins or some of the believers, some of the church will be wise, but others will be foolish. Some will be ready, others will not be ready. Some will accompany him to the marriage feast, and some will be left behind. The question still remains, but are all of these virgins truly believers? That tends to be a common question as people look at this particular passage. And I say, let's keep context. Let's just look at what Jesus is saying here. And I think we can be provided with some clarity and understanding. First of all, we see that all of these virgins, all 10 of them, had pledged themselves to be married to the bridegroom. They had all pledged themselves to be married to the bridegroom. The second thing we see in the context of the words of Jesus here in this parable is that they're all awaiting his arrival. They're awaiting and looking forward to the glorious wedding day. Third thing we see is that they all have lamps. All 10 virgins have lamps, and they all have some amount of oil in their lamps. Again, in verse 8 it says, "And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." Meaning that they were burning to some degree. There was some flame there that only can happen if there's oil in the lamp. We're going to talk more about what that oil represents here in just a moment. And the last thing I want to say is that the church, that believers are referred to as virgins elsewhere in Scripture. In fact, if you turn to 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2, you'll see one of those examples where the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, and we see these words where he says, "For I feel a divine jealousy for you, since I betrothed you to one husband to present you as a pure virgin to Christ." Whenever I read that passage, it's so awesome to see that God is jealous for you and me. He's jealous for his bride. He's jealous for us. He doesn't want to share us with anyone. He wants us. He wants us. He's jealous for us. Just reminded of that word that you gave earlier, Nate, that our Heavenly Father, he loves us so much. He wants us. He just wants to spend time with us. He's jealous for us. He desires us so greatly. Getting back to question number one, are all 10 of these virgins, who are they? We see that really all 10 are believers, and they represent the church. And so it's a sobering thought that based on Jesus' calculations, that half of the church is not ready for him and therefore will miss him. It is a sobering thought. J.C. Ryle, he's an old school preacher. Love this guy. In fact, if you haven't read his paper, his sermon about prayer, you need to read it. It will excite you and challenge you and spur you on in your prayer life. This guy is just an old school, fiery, very respected preacher and theologian. Great guy. I like his stuff. J.C. Ryle has this to say in regards to this particular parable. He says that until the bridegroom comes, there will always be some in the visible church who have grace and some who have no grace. Some will have nothing but the name of Christian. Others will have the reality. Some will have the profession of religion. Others will have the possession also. Some will be content to belong to the church. Others will never be content unless they also belong to Christ. Some will be satisfied if they have only the baptism of water. Others will never be satisfied until they also feel within the baptism of the Spirit. Some will stop short in the form of Christianity. Others will never rest until they have also the substance. And so, why won't some of the church be ready? Well, Jesus is saying here, it's because their oil is running out. And they've failed to acquire more oil. So, what is this oil? Apparently, it's pretty important. Probably something that we need to take note of and understand. What is this oil? Well, back to context. Within the context of this parable, we see that that oil, that which the foolish virgins were lacking, was intimacy. It was intimacy. Again, the title of today's sermon is Refueling with the Oil of Intimacy. And if we go back to verses 11 and 12, we remember that the foolish virgins, when they returned, what did they say? They said, Lord, Lord, open to us. But Jesus answered, truly I say to you, I do not know you. So we see in this parable the fact that they weren't ready and they had to go away when the bridegroom came because their oil was running out. That's what caused them to have to leave when the bridegroom had come for the wedding. And so they went to get this oil and they came back and to meet Jesus. And Jesus said, hey, look, I don't know you. And so we see this correlation between the oil and intimacy, between oil and being known by Jesus. The virgins lacked intimacy. They lacked the knowing of the bridegroom and being known by him. But I want to step back because here again is where we can start getting very sober and the enemy can start throwing in condemnation and worry and fear. And we can get our eyes off of the good news of this message. So first of all, we saw the good news is that the bridegroom is coming back for the bride. He's returning. That's good news. The second good news that we see in this message is that we were created for intimacy with our Lord and Savior. We were created for intimacy with God. That's good news. That's incredible. We weren't created as a bunch of robots to go around and do a bunch of work for the Lord. Period. That's not it. We were created for relationship, for intimacy with God. We were created to know Him and to be known by Him. That's good news. So let's not miss the incredibly amazing good news that Jesus has for us in this parable. Let's not let the enemy rob us of that. Let's, in fact, allow those two truths to get us excited and want more of Him. Amen? Throughout the Bible, this is also interesting, and we talked about this several weeks ago when we were talking about faith. Throughout the Bible, oil is also a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And that makes a lot of sense. Okay, so as we get to know God more, who are we getting to know? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He is God. He is one. The three in one. And who is the Holy Spirit? He truly is God with us right now. Our Heavenly Father is on His throne. Jesus has ascended and He is at His right hand. And He has sent the Holy Spirit to dwell among us, to live among us, to move among us. And so as we become more intimate with God, we are becoming more intimate with the Holy Spirit. And as we become more intimate, we're seeing more of Him in our lives. And so as we're acquiring more oil, we're acquiring more of God. We're acquiring a deeper relationship with God. And so we can see where oil, the Holy Spirit, and oil intimacy, how they can work together, how they truly are one in the same. It's also interesting to note that even the foolish virgins apparently had initially received some amount of oil, but they failed to acquire more. So I want to move forward. Let's go to question number three. We're looking at this. Okay, here's who the virgins are. Here's what the oil is, and the oil is very important, as we see. So naturally, we're going to want to go to question number three. How do we get this oil? How do we acquire oil? And how do we keep oil? How do we acquire intimacy with God? And how do we keep intimacy with God? Well, we see that in this parable, very clearly, we cannot borrow someone else's intimacy. Verse 8 again, the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise virgins could not share with them, could they? Didn't happen. You can't borrow someone else's intimacy. It just doesn't work that way. The only way to acquire oil, the only way to acquire intimacy with the Lord is through real, vulnerable, committed, personal relationship. Just because your spouse is on fire for God and in His Word and going after Him and praying all the time, just because you're hanging out with other believers who are on fire for God, which if you're hanging out with people in this church, you're hanging out with believers who are on fire for God and love Him and are chasing after Him. Just because we're hanging out with people like that doesn't mean that we're acquiring oil ourselves. I will say this, though. It's going to increase your chances of getting the oil bug, if you will, and wanting more of it as you're seeing it in other people's lives. As you're seeing God moving in other people's lives, and you're seeing the joy they have, the peace they have, the victory they have, what's going on in their lives because they're going after God and they're getting filled up with more and more oil, you're going to probably start to desire some of that yourself. But the point is you can't borrow theirs. You can't grab some of their oil. You got to go get it because it comes through your personal relationship with the Lord. That you've been blessed and to be able to have, that you were created to have that personal, intimate relationship with God. Acquiring oil or developing intimacy with the Lord, again, requires personal commitment, requires priority, it requires time. There's no way around that last one. It requires time. Intimacy is developed and it's built over time. When I stood before God and man on my wedding day, and I said my vows and I was getting teary-eyed, and in fact, we just watched our wedding video recently with our kids, and they thought it was the coolest thing in the world, and I did too, and I just kept looking at my bride who was there so strong and just so beautiful and amazing, and I'm sitting there, and I'm just looking at myself going, I look like a scared guy who's like, what is going on here? But I was just so emotional, I'm, you know, and afterwards I'm bawling, and I'm teared up, and I'm crying. But anyway, when I stood there on that day, and I said my vows, and I said I do to my beautiful wife, those vows gave me access and the right to develop intimacy with Velvet. They were the beginning. They were opening the door to allow me now to develop that intimacy. And so intimacy with my wife has been the result now, though, of daily doing life with her, talking with her, laughing with her, crying with her, holding her, praying with her, staying with her and only her. That's how intimacy has been developed. Our relationship is much more intimate today than it was on our wedding day. It took the wedding day, it took the I do, it took the commitment between us to launch into that amazing relationship and give access to that intimacy. But the intimacy is something that's been developed and has grown more and more and more and more over time. Now, we did have intimacy from day one, but it's grown. It's grown. And that's happened because we stay together, we pray together, we do life together, we prioritize one another, we continue to walk it out together. And so we grow closer and more intimate. So again, acquiring oil requires priority. These virgins, these wise ones, decided to prioritize getting oil. How many of you know there are people out there that get married and some prioritize their marriage and prioritize intimacy with their spouse, and others, people get married and they don't prioritize it. They go on with their life, they ignore one another, and things are not very intimate at all, and it's a tragedy. That's not how it's designed to be. It's not. And that's not how our relationship with the Lord is designed to be. God is the perfect husband, the perfect bridegroom. And He wants intimacy with us. Acquiring oil, though, needs to be a priority. It needs to be something that we make as a priority. Husband and wife who prioritize one another, prioritize their time together, their intimacy is going to grow. When they don't prioritize time with one another, and they blow each other off, I mean, it's not good, like I said. The wise virgins decided to prioritize getting oil. They pushed other things aside in order to spend time acquiring oil and filling their flasks. While the foolish virgin, they did other things. They didn't want to spend their time going out and getting oil. They had other things that they wanted to do with their time, with their lives. They had other hobbies, other interests. They didn't want that time of going after the oil. That wasn't what they were living for. The wise ones, they prioritized getting the oil. And so on that day when the bridegroom came, they had flasks that were full of oil, that were full of intimacy. Think of some of the other words of Jesus. Remember the one with the treasure that's found in the field? Remember that one? That parable? Found that, you know, it's like a man who finds a treasure in the field and he goes and he sells all he has in order to buy that field. Why? So he can get the treasure. He prioritized that treasure. He saw that treasure. He saw it as a treasure. And he was willing to give away, get rid of, sell everything else that he had in order to get that one thing, that treasure. That's the oil. Is intimacy a priority? The wise virgins made intimacy a priority. You know, we don't have a whole lot of programs here at Evident Life Church. If you go online, if you look at our calendar, we don't have a program for everything under the sun here at this church. And one of the reasons is that we don't want to fill your lives with any more than it needs to be filled with, because life is so busy already. And we want to make sure that you have time to develop intimacy with the Lord. And even the things that we do here are things that are purposefully designed for us to draw closer to God. Our prayer meetings that we have, our gatherings on Sunday, our worship time, you know, together corporately, our life groups, time to grow closer to God and His Word and with one another, intimacy. So important. Relationship with God, so important. Relationship with one another, fellow believers, so important. In fact, we have the 24/7 prayer that's coming up, August 2nd through August 9th. 1 week of 24/7 prayer. There are 24 prayer slots every single day. I can't do the math right now. 7 times 24, that's a lot of prayer slots. That's a lot of opportunity for you even coming up in the next week and a half, 2 weeks, to set some other things aside. To decide, you know what, I want to engage in this 24/7. I want to spend some time in the prayer room, just me and God. I want 2, 3, 4 hours alone with God. Maybe I've never done that before. Maybe I'm scared. What's that going to look like? Am I just going to get bored? Am I going to feel foolish? Hey, that's the enemy trying to keep you from intimacy with the Lord. You go sit before the Lord for hours on end with the Word of God in your hand and a desire for Him in your heart, you're going to grow closer to Him. He's not going to turn His back on you. He's not going to turn a deaf ear toward you. Spend time with Him. It's a great opportunity to do that. August 2nd through August 9th. It just might start a new practice in your life. So what are the benefits of intimacy? Well, we know one of them that we see here in this parable is salvation. Having oil. One of the benefits of intimacy is salvation, yes. But the benefits of intimacy are every day. On Tuesday in the men's meeting, we were talking through, I believe it was Mark 9. And in that particular passage of Scripture that we were going through, was mentioned the transfiguration of Jesus. And we got all talking about that. What did that look like? Wow, that was amazing. And there's Moses and Elijah there. And we were saying, wow, these three guys, Peter, James, and John, they got to see this amazing thing. They got to see Jesus in a way that nobody's ever seen Him. They got to see Him in all of His glory. They got to see Moses and Elijah. Wow! And all of a sudden, the Lord, as I'm preparing this message on intimacy, it just came to me. Why did these three guys get to see this? Why did they get to see the glory of God this way? Because of their intimacy with Jesus. Because these are the three guys that knew Jesus better than anybody. These are the three guys that Jesus knew best. And so it's no accident that these three guys who had this intimate relationship with Jesus got to see this amazing thing, the Transfiguration. Some of the benefits of intimacy, of growing in intimacy, and those of you can testify to this, that as we get closer to God, it's easier to hear His voice. As we get closer to God and spend more time with Him and about His business, we get to see miracles. We get to see people healed. We get to see God move in amazing ways. We get to see the gifts of the Spirit starting to happen in our lives and in other people's lives. We get to start seeing God show up. The more time we spend with Him. That's what intimacy is. That's one of the benefits of intimacy. It's a beautiful thing. It's not just about being saved. It's not, although that's awesome. And it is about that, but it's not just about that. It's about relationship and enjoying that relationship and engaging in that relationship. And it's extremely beneficial today and in the day to come. I want to close with just a few thoughts. As a response to this morning's parable, I want to ask a question and I want to give an invitation. Really, the question I want to ask is, are you developing intimacy? Are you acquiring oil? Is that a priority in your life? Is that something that's important to you? Does your schedule bear that out? Does your lifestyle bear that out? Does it demonstrate that? Does it show that acquiring oil, that growing your relationship, that's what we're talking about, growing your relationship with the Lord, your Savior, the one who loves you, the one who redeemed you, the one who gave His life for you, the one who has an amazing eternity in store for you. Are you developing that relationship with Him? I'm not talking about, are you there? I mean, even the Apostle Paul says, not that I've even obtained this yet. Not that I'm all there. Not that I'm fully sanctified and I know everything. No. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about you being a superstar, rock star, amazing Christian who's like walking on water type thing. I'm not talking about that. All I'm saying is, are you making your relationship with the Lord a priority? Are you acquiring oil? Maybe today it's just a couple drops, and that's all it feels like. It's like, oh. And don't let the enemy come in and rob you of those couple drops. If it's just a season of just a drop here, a drop there, it's a season of a drop here and a drop there, and that's more of God. Maybe it's a season that you're walking through right now where you just feel the oil of the Lord, His presence, His intimacy gushing over you and just consuming you. Praise God. We walk through different seasons. I appreciated that word earlier. Different seasons of life. But is acquiring oil, is developing that relationship, that personal relationship, is it a priority in your life? Is it something that you're committed to? Is it something that you're engaged in? Being in His Word, in prayer, listening to His voice, sitting before Him. That's my question for you this morning. Again, I want to say this. Don't hear what I'm not saying and don't hear what Jesus is not saying. Don't let the enemy in to bring condemnation, fear, and confusion. It's just that simple. Is your relationship with Jesus important enough to where you're developing it in some way? If it is, you're a wise virgin and you're acquiring oil. But I want to invite those of you who feel as though Maybe that's not something that you've been engaged in. Maybe that's something that you've ignored over the past season of life. Maybe it's something that you've ignored even since entering into your relationship with the Lord. I want to invite you that on this day that you can change your thinking. You can decide that this day is the day when you're turning it all around and you're going to prioritize your relationship. You're going to decide today that, you know what, I'm going to be one of those believers who is acquiring oil, who's developing my relationship with the Lord. Maybe I don't know how to do it yet. Maybe I'm a little worried. Maybe I don't have it all figured out, but I'm making that decision today that I'm going to spend time in His Word, and I'm going to spend time just sitting in His presence, and I'm going to let the grace of Jesus Christ, I'm going to let Him guide me and lead me in that. I want to give you the invitation this morning to make that decision. Maybe it's the decision for the first time to develop your relationship with Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, the way, the truth, and the life. Or maybe it's coming back. Maybe you haven't been acquiring oil for the last season, and you're desiring to come back to that intimacy with the Lord. I just want to give you that invitation to do that, to change your passion, to put away the distractions of this world and fully determine to pursue God and to buy oil. We're going to sing a song in just a moment. And as we're singing this song, I want it to be your opportunity to respond to God. It's between you and the Lord. It's a personal thing. It's a personal relationship. Personal intimacy. Even as a song is being sung, I want you to just be able to go to the Lord and to make that commitment. But I want to also say this again, as we're closing, I want to say that as we're talking in the context here of salvation, as Jesus was talking in the context of His return, which is glorious, as He's talking in the context of intimacy, which is such a blessing and such a gift from Him, He's also talking in the context of salvation. I want to make sure we understand something here as a church, that salvation isn't about a line. It's not. We're not saved because we fall on the right side of a line and we don't fall on the wrong side. We're not saved because of that. We're saved because of a relationship with Jesus Christ. We're saved because of what He has done for us. And so what I want to make sure that we don't do as a body of believers is that we don't spend all of our time looking for that line. Looking for that line that says, okay, now I know I'm saved and I'm okay and I'm safe. And as long as I stay on this side of the line, everything's okay. I don't want us to be focused on the line. I want us to be focused on Jesus. Because when we have our focus on Him, there's no line. It doesn't matter. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's our Savior. He's the lover of our souls. He's our Redeemer. And so as you're processing this incredible parable, this exciting news, this good news that Jesus is returning and that He's created us for intimacy, I want to make sure that our response isn't the line. But our response and our focus is on Jesus. Can we do that? Let's stand up. Let's sing this song. And if you just want to be crying out to the Lord and praying and getting on your knees or whatever you want to do, just respond to the words of Jesus this morning and go to Him.
I want to know. See your face. I want to.